Turn to the book of 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you know, we're traveling through the book of 2 Timothy in our New Testament book. We've come to chapter 3, and I've began a message here that we've taken out of the first verse. We're preaching on the entire chapter. It's taken us a good while to get through this. And this is part 2 of this message. Look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres, if that's how you pronounce it, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now I begin a message entitled out of the first verse, The Last Days. If you're keeping notes, this is The Last Days, part number 2. And let's pray together, and we'll pick up in just a moment with verse number 3. We left off, we got down through verse number 2. We're going to pick up in verse number 3 in just a moment. Our Father, help us. May the will of God be done in this service. May you be pleased, honored, and glorified. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the main thought in this chapter is the thought, the last days. There's no doubt about that. This is a phrase that's used in different verses of Scripture. It's used in Genesis chapter 49, Isaiah chapter 2, Micah chapter 4, Acts chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 1, James chapter 5, and 2 Peter chapter 3. Now as we think of this phrase, the last days, it's been said that this is a phrase that encompasses or includes the time of the ascension of Christ to the end of the world. Now, there's no doubt that we are living closer to the rapture of the church today than we were this morning, because the rapture of the church is getting closer and closer with every given moment. However, right here, as we come to chapter 3 in 2 Timothy, we see that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is putting on display the last days for this young preacher by the name of Timothy to keep in mind. Now, if you remember, we're under major point number 1. There's a lot under it. But the first thing we're noticing is the last days climate. In other words, what's the spiritual temperature, if you will, of people in general whenever the last days are taking place? Now in this, what we're going to be bringing out is we're going to be going through this list. We've already started this list in verse number 2. Let me just go back and tap these that I've already preached on. I'm not going to preach on them here, because if you'd like a copy of it, you can go back and get it. I started it this past Wednesday night. But the Bible says, talking about the spiritual climate of the last days, if you will, notice with me this list. He says, first of all, they'll be lovers of their own selves, verse 2. Which means that they will love themselves a lot more than they love God. Folks, we're living in that day. There's no doubt about that. The second thing it says is that men will be covetous. That means lover of silver, fond of silver. Those who are going after money and will do anything to get it. Number 3 in verse number 2, it says they'll be boasters. That word boaster means a braggart. They just lift themselves up. The fourth one comes right along with that, proud. Then the Bible says, number 5, men will be blasphemers. I've already preached on this. I'm just mentioning them here. Then the Bible says in verse number 2 that they'll be disobedient to parents, they'll be unthankful, and then they'll be unholy. Now let's continue with this thought here tonight, just this Bible study, going verse by verse here, if you will, about the last day's climate. This is major point number 1, and this is letter I if you're following me. In verse number 3, the Bible says, as we continue with this thought, that men will be without natural affection. Now these words literally mean to be hard-hearted toward kindred. In other words, those who normal people love naturally. In the last days, men will be without this natural affection. Parents not loving children. By the way, it's natural for a mom and dad to love their children. It's not natural when a mom and dad could care less about their young ones. That's unnatural. He's talking about a day when children won't love their parents. He's talking about a day when brothers and sisters who should be loving each other hate each other's guts. He's talking about a day when a husband and wife should be yoked up and love each other. Somebody, in many instances, kicked the traces. Talking about right here, they're without natural affection. My friend, listen to me. We're living in these days. Abortion's running rampant. You know what that is? That's unnatural. That's somebody without natural affection. And don't ever fall prey that abortion is not murder. It is murder. God forms the baby in the womb. And I'm telling you, don't blame God. People are trying to blame God for their own sin. But don't ever take it out on a young child. It's unnatural for a mama to want to take the life out of her own womb. It's unnatural for a man to love a man. It's unnatural for a woman to love a woman. That is unnatural. And the Word of God says that it's an abomination. That doesn't mean that you hate people. By the way, it's not hateful preaching when you give the truth. That's loving preaching. And I'm telling you, for the life of me, I love my wife. But something's twisted in people's minds who have that same affection for a person of their own sex. Something's wrong with that. The Bible says he's given them over to a reprobate mind. Husbands and wives not being faithful to one another. Abuse of children running wild. Why, we even heard recently about, on this news, about that mother who took the lives of her two children because they were mouthy. Did you see that on the news? Where her boy, she said, was mouthing off to her, so she took a gun and killed him. And then went up into the girl's bedroom, wherever she was at, she was studying, and she took a gun and killed her girl. You want me to tell you what that is? That's without natural affection. And it's a sign that King Jesus is coming soon. See, in this message, folks, I don't want you to get down in the dumps. What this message does for children of God is it causes us to lift our eyes, for our redemption's drawing nigh. But on the flip side of it, it also motivates us to be able to get out and give more gospel tracts out. Try to reach some of these people who don't have natural affection. Try to spread the good news of the gospel. Now let's go on. By the way, I cannot get bogged down in this, because if I do, we'll never get through this chapter. I'm just trying to mention these things without natural affection. This is all the last days climate. How's it going to be in the last days? How's people's mindsets going to be? They're going to be without natural affection. The next thing it says in verse 3, they'll be truce breakers. These are people who may promise anything but never intend to perform their promise. In other words, his word is not his bond. One cannot trust what he says. Listen, the Word of God is true. And what I'm saying to you folks, listen, we are living in these days. There's no doubt about that. Somebody will look you right in the face and lie to you and won't think a thing about it. James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Without natural affection, truce breakers. The third thing tonight is letter K, if you follow me, false accusers. This is all in verse number 3. These words, false accusers here, the word accuser comes from the word diabolos, from where we get the name devil, where we get the name slanderer, Satan. You know who Satan is? He's a false accuser. That's who he is. He tried to do it with Job. He'll try to do it with you. And I'm telling you that in the last days, people are going to be acting just like the devil, just like diabolos. Somebody who will say anything, telling a story on somebody else to tear them down and lift themselves up. Revelation 12, 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. You know what the devil's doing? He's accusing you before God day and night. He's falsely accusing you. And when we falsely accuse somebody else or slander somebody else, by the way, don't ever say anything. By the way, even if you know it to be true, that doesn't give you any right to spread it. But you know where people get in trouble? They start believing everything they hear. And they'll start spreading that. And before long, you have a child of God acting like the devil. He's accusing other people falsely. The Bible says here in Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after the things that which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. See, one of the signs of the last days is that men are not going to try to build each other up. They're going to try to tear each other down. You know a sin like that has crept into the churches? God forbid it ever gets a foothold here, where this person's slandering that person and this person's talking about that person and this person's stabbing that person in the back. That's a work of the devil. Amen. God delivers from it. There's another one. The Bible says in verse number 3, this is all the spiritual climate of the day. In the last days, the spiritual climate, a lot of it, we're looking at it. It says they're going to be incontinent. You know what this word incontinent means? It means without self-control. Webster's unabridged dictionary defines it as this, and I quote, intemperate, free and uncontrolled indulgence of the passions or appetite, particularly the sexual appetite, indulging lust without restraint, unchaste or lewd. Sound familiar? You know what you got to do today? Turn on the television and you see people incontinent. All you got to do is watch some of the movies and you'll see people eaten up with incontinence. I'm telling you, there are people whose lifestyle today around the globe can be summarized as incontinent, incontinent, incontinent. It's a lifestyle of saying, if I want it, I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And even though I know I shouldn't do that, I'm without restraint. I'm without control. I'm going to give my life to that because I think it feels good. I think it tastes good. I think it looks good. And if I want it, I'm going to do it. And that's a sign of the last days. I'm telling you, it says they'll be incontinent. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Here it is again, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You know what these verses are saying? You are free. God's given you a free choice. He's given you a free will. And all things are lawful for you. You can do anything you want to do. But he says that doesn't give you license to live any way you want to live. I'm telling you, this is a sign of the last days. People just living without restraint. Oh, I want it. I'm going to do it. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what the church thinks. I don't care what it does to my testimony. I want it. I'm getting it. Doesn't stop there. Verse 3 goes on to say that men will be fierce. You know what this word fierce means? It means to be savage. Many of the crimes being committed today are some of the most brutal murders that have ever taken place. People without the Lord can be so cruel, and they can be so fierce to their fellow man. It's happening all the time somewhere around the globe. I'm talking about, now listen, I'm not trying to paint a picture in your mind. I'm not trying to scare you or anything like that. That's so far from Scripture. But you know in your heart that there are people today who don't know God, they do not know the Lord, and they are fierce. They'll cut your head off if they can. By the way, that's not a peaceful religion if you ask me. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, folks, people are fierce today. Savages. When you go and you hear about somebody who takes their own baby and throws them in a dumpster, there's something fierce about that, folks. There's something evil, wicked with that. It's not right. But again, What are we doing? Going to get down in the dumps? Oh, look at the signs of the times. Oh, look at what's going. It's so bad out here. You got it. But it's looking pretty good for the child of God. The Lord's coming back. And He'll set every one of these things straight someday. Amen. Let's go on. Now you see, I'm tempted to get bogged down in this. I can't do it. May the Lord help me, you know. It goes on to say, they'll be despisers of those that are good. This means they'll be hostile towards virtue. In other words, those who are living to please the Lord with their lives, those who are not will despise them. And even go as far as to be hostile toward them. Folks, if you can't see that this is already taking place, you're blind. I was reading an article sent to me the other day as I was writing this message out about a former Muslim that was being prepared for execution overseas because he had been saved by the grace of God and came out and let it be known he's a Christian. So they put him on death row. That's foreign to America, but it's happening around the world. You know what that is? That's despisers of those that are good. That's what that is. The world and the devil, not the friends of the Lord, folks. They are His staunch enemy. Therefore, if you're identified with the Lord, they don't like you either. You see that? As a matter of fact, they despise you. But can I say something to you? The Lord may take me home this week, but I'll guarantee you it'll be the Lord. It won't be the devil. Amen. I'm fighting the devil. You know, I think it was Billy Sunday who said he'll bite him as long as he's got a tooth. And when he's old and toothless, he'll gum him to the day he dies. Can I say something to you? He doesn't like me. I don't like him too much either. And I've got news for him. I know he's after me. And I'm in no way saying, bring it on. I'm in no way saying that because I'm no match for him. But you know what we need to live in? The battle's the Lord's. See, I'm no match for him, but he's no match for my God. He hates me. He despises me. Hey, the feeling's mutual. I hate him too. You better hate him too, folks. He'll try to snuggle up close to you and say, hey, I'm your friend. Hey, that old country preacher can't even hardly understand me. Even in East Tennessee, he's got such a southern twang. Listen to him. Listen, he don't know what he's talking about. He's really trying to hold you back. Yeah, that's exactly what he told Eve too in the Garden of Eden. He said, God's not really trying to be good to you. He's trying to hold you back, Eve. Let me tell you what he's doing. He despises those that are good. The last days, people will hate those who are sold out for God. We all need to be sold out for Him. I need to be more sold out to Him. Then we go on. The Bible says that they'll be traitors. This carries the idea that they'll deliver up to the enemy the person who has put his life in their hands. It's one who betrays a trust. It's one who breaks a confidence to preserve oneself. It's one who betrays a secret. Let me ask you a question. Can people trust you? Can they trust you? Or you have a sense of being a traitor. I'll give it up if the time's right. You know what the last day's climate's going to be? It's going to be people who you ought to be able to trust are going to stab you in the back. Might as well get ready for it. It's coming. Some of you have already experienced it. Luke 6:16, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Acts 7:52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Matthew 10:21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Boy, that's going to be a sad day, isn't it? Then it goes on. The Bible says they'll be heady. This word heady means to be headstrong. It means to be inconsiderate. It means to be reckless. It means to be opposed to that which is deliberate and calm. In other words, if it's calm, they don't want anything to do with it. They're reckless. They want the pedal to the metal at all times, even if they're going through a neighborhood. If the speed limit's 50, they're going to go 105. If the speed limit is 10 and it says children at play, they don't care. They'll zoom through there at the same speed. Heady, doing their own thing. It goes on to say high-minded. By the way, aren't you glad I'm not preaching on every one of these? We'd never get out of this book, you see. I'm just mentioning these. We're just trying to get an overall view. By the way, there's a major thought in all of these, in all of this. I'm getting ready to give it to you here in just a minute. High-minded. This carries the idea of one who is full of themselves. It carries the idea of having the head in the clouds, puffed up. Those who have only thoughts of oneself. Then the Bible says in verse 4 that they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Pleasures and sensual gratifications is what they love and serve, not God. They don't want to serve God. They want to serve whatever pleases them. And whatever gives them the sensual gratification, whatever gives them the rush, if you will, that's what they're going to give their life to. They have more love for gratifying the flesh and its appetite instead of pleasing God. 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. James 5:5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Hebrews 11:24-25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then the Word of God tells us here, by the way, I don't expect you to remember all this, folks. This is one of those messages. You're not going to remember everything that's been said, but I trust that you're going to remember the main thought when I give it here in just a minute. This is all under major thought number one, the last day's climate. What is it? We're reading it. It's this list. They're heady. They're high-minded. They're without natural affection. They're traitors. They're despisers of those that are good. The Bible says in verse 5, they're also, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You know what Paul's saying about these particular groups of people here? Timothy, watch out. They're in your church. He's saying, watch out, they have a form of godliness. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk, Timothy. Stay with me here. Powerful thought right here. This means that these people may be religious, but they're lost. It carries the idea of having the outward shape, but having nothing inside it. It's an empty vessel that looks like it. This is powerful. In other words, they're hiding behind a mask, Timothy. These people may have religion in their creed, but not in their heart. These people may talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. In other words, their lifestyle is telling on their heart. You know, there's a lot of the Bible salvation changed life that's being watered down today. And can I say this to you? If you're not new, you're not true. If you're not changed, you're not saved. It's sad to say, but churches around the globe have people just like, he's talking about these people without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. He's saying some of them have a form of godliness, Timothy. They're going to try to make you think that they're religious. They're going to try to make you think that they are okay. But in their heart, because of their lifestyle, their heart is telling on them they're not right with God. And they'll tear your church all to pieces. There are people like this scattered abroad in churches around the globe. Boy, I hope there's none like that in this church. I don't believe there is. We've got such a sweet spirit here. Such a wonderful spirit. But that doesn't say that in a crowd this size, there's not somebody who's got a mask on tonight. They've come. They know how to talk the talk. They know exactly what to say. They know how to answer the questions. They even know what questions to ask. And they know how to answer those same questions, but in their heart, their lifestyle. I'm talking, it's revealing that they're false. they're fakes. I hope that's not you. If it is, I've got good news. God can snap that mask off of you and make you the real thing tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, if a person claims Christ, but still manifests all the characteristics of a lost person with no chastisement, he or she is not saved. Because that's Bible. If you be without chastisement, the Bible calls, this is a strong word, the world's taken it and tried to turn it into a curse word, but it is a biblical word. It says, if you're without chastisement, then you're bastards. And you're none of his. You know one way I know I'm saved? I can't get by with anything. He hits me upside the head. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm talking about anything that's against his will, except making fun of people and all this. By the way, people make fun of me all the time. And you ought to know, go look in the mirror. You're the ones who, no, I'm just kidding with you, right? What am I saying? I'm saying this tonight, that just because somebody says they're a Christian, that doesn't mean they are. You know what God says? Prove it. Live it. Now that doesn't give us any right to say, he's not saved. He broke his promise. He's lost. No, that's not what this is teaching. But Paul is trying to say, Timothy, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. See, we all sin, even Christians. 1 John 1, 8-10, written to Christians. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. The truth's not, we're going to sin, but we can't wallow in it. You understand the difference? You can't just lay down in it and wallow in it and never be chastised, never be convicted. If that happens, you need to check up. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. And I'm telling you, this is Bible salvation. Then what he does, in these next verses, verses 6 through 9, he begins to try to explain a little bit further how these people function. Now I want you to look at this. In verses 6 and 7, he says that these kind of people are going to creep into houses. Look at it. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. And they lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what in the world does that mean? Now, let me help this. What he's saying here is this. These false teachers who are trying to spread heresy, they do not spread their teaching in the open. They'll teach it in a corner somewhere. Now stay with me here. They're not going to come to the front door of your house with it. They're trying to creep in with it. Spurgeon put it this way. These deceivers acted like Jesuits, spreading their false doctrine secretly among the weaker sort. Truth fears not the light, but falsehood is a night bird and flies abroad by stealth. If any religious teacher asks us to conceal from our friends what he's told us, we may be sure that he's good for nothing. That's what Spurgeon put it like. And what he's saying here is that he tries to creep into houses and he leads captive silly women laden with sins. What's he talking about? Let me paraphrase this, summarize it if you will. Many times these folks who are lost, but yet they wear a mask. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They say, oh yes, I'm one of you, but in their heart they're teaching something completely different. He says many times what they're going to do, Timothy, is they're going to begin their process by targeting women. Now, if you're a woman, do not take offense at this, because he identifies the type of woman that they're going to attack first. He says they're going to come and lead captive, silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust. There's a powerful thought being taught here. And what he's saying is this. He's saying those who are unrestrained and ready to accept anything new and anything exciting are under the influence of sin, and they are under the influence of sin right now. In other words, they're laden down with sin. They're not weak per se, but what they are, they're wicked. Women who are living ungodly lives. They're laden with sin. They're bound by sin. I mean, sin's got them down. And they're trying maybe to get out of it, so they're looking for anything that will give them an answer. Do you see this? And he's saying what they will do is they will target a woman like that. And they'll knock on that door. Because many times, not all the time, but many times the man is gone. And the woman's there by herself. So they'll try to creep into the house. And they'll try to woo the woman with their language. They'll try to woo her and say, "I've got the answer." As a matter of fact, it's been said here that this could be an allusion to when the husband's not home and the woman is visited by these peddlers of false doctrines. The thought here is this: if a woman is loose and wicked, she's a prime target for false doctrine. That's what he's teaching. If you are a woman tonight, would you raise your hand? You're a woman, you're a female? Yes. Glad you know that, right? Can I help you out? If a false doctrine comes to your door, do not let him in the house. Secondly, the way that you're not going to be tripped up, stay right with God. If you start having sin laid you down, "I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it." And you start going after different lusts, open to anything. "Oh, that looks good. Oh, let me try that. Oh, that looks good. Let me try that." If there's a woman like that, you're a prime target. By the way, you don't preach on things like that unless you're preaching through a book. Old Mr. Kaiser, remember Brother Chad? He said you'll preach things that you won't preach if you don't preach through books. Or preaching through a book, and folks, I'm telling you here, the devil, listen to me please, there's a reason why the devil targeted Eve first. There's a reason. That does not mean that the pastor of Buffalo Ridge is some male chauvinist. Hogwash. Shame on you for even thinking something like that. Ask my wife. She's the boss. But can I help you with something? God's word teaches here again that when it comes to false doctrine, the woman's going to be targeted first. Now that's not a blanket statement, you understand. But typically speaking, that's what happens. By the way, why do you think they go after the woman? Because if they can get the woman, more than likely they're going to get the man. Now, then he gives a personal illustration of this. We're just about through. I know this has been it's been some deep treading tonight. I understand that. There's a lot of information I'm giving you. But I hope you're grabbing this. He goes on further to illustrate these false doctrines, these hypocrites, these people who will creep into homes, these people who may have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power of it. He gives an illustration of these two people here by the name of Jannes and Jambres. Now you say, "Jody, who are they?" Well, it says he withstood Moses. You know who these two people were? They were part of the magicians in the book of Exodus whenever Moses came in and God said, "Throw your rod down and it'll become a snake." And then the magicians came in and threw their rods down. And it did the same. It looked the same. You see what I'm saying? They can mimic it to a certain extent. But notice what he says. He says in verse number 9, "But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, was." In other words, if you remember anything about the book of Exodus, Moses called frogs up, so did they. They made it look like they could do the same thing. They had the same power. It looked just like it. Are you following me? But God's word said there came a point when God said, no further. You see what I'm saying? And when the boils broke out, it broke out on them too. You know what God's saying? Give it time, and I'll take care of it. They may mimic that, and they may mimic that, and they may look like it's there, and they may look like they have the power there, but I've given you a spiritual thermometer. I've given you some guidelines. Look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. And yet they're lining up with the climate of the last days, but yet they say, oh, yes, I'm going. Oh, yes, I'm for you. Oh, yes, I'm on the same team. But yet everything in their life points in the opposite direction. God said they may be able to mimic to this point, and I may let them come to this point, but there's coming a day when I'm going to look at them and say, no further. And I'm going to manifest to the world just like I did about the magicians. They are fake. Now you say, Jody, what's the point here? I told you I was going to give you a major thought. Here's the major thought. You know what the last day's climate is? When you look at that list, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemy, on and on we could go. You know what that list is? It is in direct contradiction to the Word of God. You know what the spiritual climate of the last days is going to be? Against that book right there. If it's in the book, they're against it. If the book tells them to do it, they're not going to do it. If the book tells them don't do it, they're going to test it. That's the spiritual climate of the last days. Now, it's so hard to draw the net in a message like this. How do you give an invitation? I want to give it this way. You look around you and you see this list literally being fulfilled before your very eyes. Am I right or wrong? Then I ask you this question. Are you ready if the rapture takes place tonight? You have a choice to make. Either you just look around in gloom and doom and, oh, this is terrible. Or you can say, praise God, we're in the last day. God, help me to be faithful and help me to stick to the course until I see your blessed face. Then there may be somebody here who says, Jody, I've been wearing the mask and it's suffocating me. I want it off. I want to be saved. I don't want to play games. You make that decision, the Lord will save you tonight. He'll give you the real thing. It's really not a thing, it's a person. He'll give you himself. He'll change your life. May God do business with the heart of this church tonight. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord, as we think about the climate of the last day's climate, Lord, we can look around us today and say, yes, that's happening. Yes, that's happening. Yes, that's happening now. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be motivated through all of this, to realize that we're getting ready to see the Lord. Help us to live every day as if it could be the day when you split the eastern sky. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. There might be somebody here tonight and you say, Jody, when you went through that list, it may not be all of them, but it sounded a whole lot like me. You described me when you went through that list of all those things. And you say, Jody, I don't want that. I want to be changed. I'm tired of playing games. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. Is there one tonight say, Jody, would you pray for me? By the way, it takes a very honest person to do this. And it takes somebody who's not going to let pride keep them from responding. But is there one tonight say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm concerned that according to that list there tonight that you gave, according to all that spiritual climate, I'm concerned about my own soul. And I'd just like to make sure that I'm a Christian. Or maybe you know you're lost. Whatever the case may be, you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to respond in salvation. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But I've had a tendency to look around me at all the bad things and look at the news and just listen to all this bad news. And I have a tendency to focus on the bad news. And I see tonight that what I need to do is get my eyes off the bad news and put my eyes on the sky, because really what the bad news is telling me is that the coming of Jesus Christ is getting nearer. And I need my motivation to be changed. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need my eyes to be looking up instead of looking out. If that's you and God speaking to you in that way, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you. May the Lord help you with that. God help you with it. In just a moment, we're going to stand. Brother Gary is going to begin to sing in just a moment. I'll let you know when it is. And I'm going to invite every one of you that raised your hand to come to this altar and ask God to help you. To get your eyes off the bad and on to the good. What is the good? God is good. That's who He is. And He could come back tonight. God help us. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? As He sings, come on. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. They're playing through. I want to ask our leadership to do something, if you wouldn't mind. We've got one who's come forward who was saved in the home this week. Praise the Lord. I'd like all of you to look at me just a moment. My desire at this church is to make sure that this ship keeps going in the right course. And you understand that the devil would love to see Buffalo Ridge blown off course. You understand that, don't you? You know how he's going to try to do it? He's going to try to creep something in here, or creep something in there, or creep into your home. Because if he can creep into your house, if you're in this church, that affects this church too. I'd like to ask the leaders who feel led to do this. I don't ever want anybody to feel pressured to come forward. But I want our leaders, those who feel impressed, maybe anybody, not just leaders, anybody. Let me just open up to anybody. If you want to come, as Brother Gary sings here in just a moment, if you want to come and get on your face and beg God to keep the devil out of your home and out of this church, may we go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want every head bowed one more time, every eye closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. If you feel led to bring your family, if you feel led as a deacon or as a Sunday school teacher or staff member, if you feel led for this, if you feel like God wants you to do this, as he sings, you come on. Come on now.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way,
Lord, my being absent.
Are closed. May the Lord keep us true here at Buffalo Ridge. Going all out. No doubt about it. Amen. Amen. Standing, you can look this way. I want those at the altar to take their time. Thank you. I'd like for Mark and Lori and Little Hope, if you wouldn't mind, all of you to stand just a moment, if you wouldn't mind to do that. It's one of our precious families. No doubt about it. And Hope, this week on Monday, in the privacy of their home, was given the gospel and she responded. And Hope, you've come to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I asked her right there just a minute ago, so you've trusted Christ? And she said, yes. Isn't that precious? Praise the Lord. Amen. Cash. God bless him. It means that little girl's not going to burn. She's going to walk on a street of gold. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me be happy for her. Say a big amen. You understand coming forward in a church with people that look like you, that I'm playing with you, you know that, right? That this scares a little girl to death. But she's been saved. We rejoice with you. You're a precious little girl, no doubt about it. Amen. Wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, just to step to the platform and close us in prayer, asking the Lord to keep us true here at Buffalo Ridge. If you're here for the first time, let me remind you to take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center. Please be back in your place on Wednesday night. If you're a leader, please go by and sign up if you can. God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening.
Lord, our hearts rejoice as we close the service tonight at Hope's coming. Thank you that she trusted you this week in her home. And Lord, it's wonderful to see godly grandparents who've influenced a granddaughter and a daughter and son-in-law, and to see Hope come. And we pray that you'd have your hand of blessing upon her life. May she be a handmaiden of the Lord. May you guide and direct her and help her to grow as a believer and to become what you want her to be. And may you protect her, I pray, from the devil's attacks. Put a hedge about her, about this family. Continue to use them in our church here, we pray. And Lord, we do want to see this church continue in the right direction. And Lord, we know that the devil can creep in and can work in any one of our hearts to cause us to have a critical spirit or to cause us to bring in fighting and disputing in the church. And Lord, we pray you'd help us not to do that. God, help us to be on the same page one with another, trying to reach others for you. And may you give us a unity of the Spirit. May we be Spirit-led believers and church members. And may you use this church to build up believers and to reach the lost in this area and around the world, I pray. Help us this week to live for you. Give us victory. Help us to walk with you in the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.